But suppose the delay doesn't go away? Jasper asked. Suppose nothing changes. Suppose the stranger gets nailed today and we still can't deliver for a week. Then our friend of the South knows we were lying to him. I don't think the stranger will get nailed in one day, Jacob said. Why not? Because he seems to be a very capable person. All the evidence so far points in that direction. It could take a few days, by which time our truck could well be on its way. And even if it isn't, we could say that we thought it prudent to keep the merchandise out of the country until the matter was finally resolved. A friend might believe that. Or, of course, he might not. It's a gamble, then. Indeed it is. But it's probably the best we can do. Are we in or out? We should offer assistance, Jasper said, and information. We should require compliance from the population. Jacob said, naturally. Our friend would expect nothing less. Instructions will be issued and sanctions will be advertised. And our boys should be out there, too. Ears and eyes open. We need to feel we made some contribution, at least. Naturally, Jacob said again. So, are we in or out? No one spoke for a long moment. Then Jasper said, I'm in.
Me too,
Jonas said. Jacob Duncan nodded and unfolded his hands. That's a majority, then, which I'm mighty relieved to have, because I took the liberty of calling our friend to the south 2 hours ago. Our boys and his are already on the hunt.
I want to be there, Seth said, while the stranger gets it.
Chapter 15. Reacher was half expecting something nailed together from sod and rotten boards, like a Dust Bowl photograph. But the woman drove him down a long gravel farm track to a neat two-story dwelling, standing alone in the corner of a spread that might have covered 1,000 acres. The woman parked behind the house, next to a line of old tumble-down barns and sheds. Reacher could hear chickens in a coop, and he could smell pigs in a sty. And earth and air and weather. The countryside, in all its winter glory. The woman said, I don't mean to be rude, but how much are you planning to pay me? Reacher smiled. Deciding how much food to give me?
Something like that.
My breakfast average west of the Mississippi is about $15 with tip. The woman looked surprised and satisfied. That's a lot of money. That's 2 hours' wages. That's like having a 9-day work week. Not all profit, Reacher said. I'm hungry, don't forget. She led him inside, through a door to a back hallway. The house was what Seth Duncan's place might have been before the expensive renovations. Low ceilings overhead, small panes of wavy glass in the windows, uneven floors underfoot. The whole place old and antique and outdated in every possible way, but cleaned and tidied and well-maintained for 100 consecutive years. The kitchen was immaculate. The stove was cold. You didn't eat yet? Reacher asked.
I don't eat, the woman said. Not breakfast, at least.
Dieting? The woman didn't answer, and Reacher immediately felt stupid. I'm buying. $30. Let's both have some fun.
I don't want charity.
It isn't charity. I'm returning a favor, that's all. You stuck your neck out bringing me here.
I was just trying to be a decent person.
Me too, Reacher said. Take it or leave it. She said,
I'll take it.
He said, what's your name? Most times when I have breakfast with a lady, I know her name at least.
My name is Dorothy.
I'm pleased to meet you, Dorothy. You married?
I was. Now I'm not.
You know my name?
Your name is Jack Reacher, We've all been informed. The word is out.
I told the doctor's wife.
And she told the Duncans. Don't blame her for it. It's automatic. She's trying to pay down her debt like all of us.
What does she owe them?
She sided with me 25 years ago.